From the lighthouse, shine on me, shine on me, Lord, shine on me, let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Amen. 7 to 1. It's F. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Oh, I know it was the blood. For me, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Let's go, brethren. I know it was the blood. Oh, I know it was the blood. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Hallelujah. Let's sing hymn 63, the old time religion. It's an A flat. It's the old time Holy Spirit and the devil won't go near. That's the reason people fear it. But it's good enough, folk. Just give me that old time. Please give me that old time. I want that old time religion. Good enough for, it will make you stop your life. It will save you when you die. It will stand the devil's flight. And it's good enough for, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time. I want that old time religion, and it's good enough for, it's so good, I want no other, for it makes me love my brother, and it brings things from undercover, and it's good enough for, just give me that old time. Give me that old time. I want that old time religion. And it's good enough. Yes, it was good in the fairy pen. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for our Father. And it's good enough. Just give me that old time. Give me that old time. I want that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Amen. Hymn number 7. It's a G. I am thinking of the rapture in the blessed home, Mona, when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise the heavenly anthem in the city in the sky. When I redeem our gathering, when I redeem our gathering, wash like snow and free from sin, I will shout and I will sing when I redeem our gathering. They will be a great procession on our streets of gold when I redeem our gathering. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, city will be rolled when I redeem our gathering. Oh, when I redeem our gathering, white like snow and free from sin, I will shout and I will sing when I redeem our gathering. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when I redeem our gathering. Then thy angels all will listen, for they cannot join the song when I redeem our gathering. Oh, when I redeem our gathering. Oh, watch like snow and free from sin. Oh, sin, how will shout and now will see when I redeem our gathering. Oh, yes, then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when I redeem, oh, gathering. And will hear his invitation, come me, blessed of the Lord, when I redeem. Of the Lord a gathering, for yes, when I redeem a gathering, oh, wash like snow and free from sin, I will shout. Then I will see when I redeem our gathering. Amen. Let's sing hymn 12, A Flood. A flood. My soul, Jehovah, the cross for one of the love. In shall I fear to all his cause or blush to speak his name. Oh yes, and when the battle is so, oh, we shall wear a crown, oh, we shall wear Hallelujah, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, yes, with a crown, with a crown. With bright and shining crown, and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh yes, must I be carried to the sky on flying river. Of thee, oh, I long just for to win the prize and say through bloody sweat. Oh, yes, when the battle is over. We shall wait. Oh, yes, we shall wait. Oh, we shall wait. And when the battle is over, we shall wait. Crown in the new Jerusalem. Wait. A crown, with a crown, with a crown, with bright and shining crown. Yes, and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem, last verse. Oh, yes, sure I must fight if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil and you, the pain support, said by thy word. Oh, yes, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, Lord, we shall wear. Oh, we shall wear a crown, and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Saints, good evening to everybody. It's good to be here this evening. It's good always to gather in his name. The song says, we shall wear a crown. What a promise that is. But the promise is to the overcomer. And where do we get the power to overcome? Well, threefold power. Number one, through prayer. Number two, through his word. Number three, through fellowship. Those are three very important things we need inside of our lives. So we've gathered here in the fulfillment of his word upon this night. We're so glad to have with us from the United States, our good friend, Brother David Nash. It's a privilege to have him here. God bless you, bro. Thanks for coming our way. Quite a number of saints know him already from years gone by. It's been quite a few years, but it's always good to renew fellowship. Be really looking forward to what the Lord has in his heart tonight, what the Lord's laid in our brother's heart. We want to pray for Brother Stevie. He's not feeling well tonight. Let's also pray for Brother Alex, Sister Anne, and anybody else that's in your heart as we bow our heads just to open the service in a word of prayer. Oh, Father, how we once again admit our dependence upon thee, Lord. Father, you've called us in this age, you've called us in this day, you've called us at this time to be overcomers. And Lord, we are only overcomers in you, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we've come once again to this place that you provided for us upon this night, Lord, with one aim, one objective, and that is to fellowship with you. Father, we don't want to be the same when we go from this place, because we need you, Lord. Jesus, you are truly the vine. We are but the branches, Lord. And Father, we just want to draw nigh unto you now with our hearts, that you may draw from you upon this night. As we pray for the minister, we pray your hand upon him. We pray your special unction upon him. We pray that you'll give him, Lord, exactly, thus saith the Lord for us upon this night, what it is inside of your heart, Lord, that you administer that to our hearts. And Lord, them that aren't here tonight, would you pray for each of them, Lord? We pray that you're minister of your mercy, minister of your blessing, and minister of your grace to them, to meet them in their point of need as well. And them that are streaming, Lord, you bless them as well. Bless the technology, help in all these things, we'd pray. But bless the service now. Father, we want to give it into your hands. We pray you be glorified in the midst of your people this night. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's hand over to Brother David. God bless you, bro.
Amen. You love the Lord today.
Amen.
There you go. Well, that's easier usually. I have electronical challenges in life, and if there's more than one button, I never get it right. And somebody always has to come do it. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen.
Happy to be back in Ireland, back with Brother Andrew and family. And I noticed the boys, you know, I used to look down on them. Now they look down at me. And so we're happy to be here. And Sister Rachel also was, you know, about this big, I think, last time I saw her. So she, you know, she's all embarrassed. But greetings from the family, greeting from our church. Our church, as we, it seems like we have many we've been to or got to. And we were just with the Hispanics this last weekend out in San Diego. So, and they would send their greetings also. And Lord bless you. Thanks for being here, and thanks for praying for us. I always, a lot of people, I forgot which proverb it is now, or actually it's in a couple different places, but it talks about, Paul says, it's in, the one in Proverbs is different, but the one in the New Testament, it talks about, Paul said, I was delivered, he says, or the God, this gospel was delivered by your prayers. I'm just the functional part. You know, people say, oh, it must be, you know, great to be. All I am is the little skinny part on the sword that does the cutting. It's all your prayers, and you're the ones that run the handle. And so God bless you. Glad to be here. And let's just, while we're standing, I was thinking about two or three different things today. And when I went to San Diego, I really only had one thing the Lord had dealt with me on before I left home. And so I noticed the young people were all gathered around and watching a movie or something about David. And I said, what would you guys like to hear? And they just said, well, we'd like to hear more about David. So I remember that Brother Branham said that he would ask the children sometimes what they wanted him to preach on. So I thought, okay. But anyway, let's turn to, since we're going into resurrection season, let's turn first to Matthew 12, I believe it is. And like I said, pray for me. You're the ones that run the gift. I'm just the little part at the end. And the subject will actually be about the sign of the resurrection, but let's look at how Jesus guides us there in Matthew, the 12th chapter. And I'm working out of a newer Bible. I haven't had that long, so if it takes me a minute to find something, you forgive me. Actually, the Bible that I just wore out, the pages are all falling out. A brother here in Ireland, Brother Tommy McKinstry, had bought it for me years ago, and all the pages now are falling out. So my family bought me this one. So Matthew 12. And we'll start at verse, I think it's 30. Let's go, start at 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then also, then go to Jonah, the first chapter, and watch what this sign of Jonah is all about. Now the word of the Lord, it's Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Greetings to the people online before I forget. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've read your word this evening, and I'm asking you, Lord, first, I love you, I thank you, and I praise you for this people of yours, Father, that's here tonight. I ask you, take this vessel, and as always, Lord, use it for thy glory and honor, in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Welcome. God bless you. Right on time. And so we saw there where Jesus, when he says that they're asking him for a sign, and he says, the only sign that you're going to see is the sign of the prophet Jonah. So, and we know then that also he talks about in another place about, you know, the resurrection and stuff. And what is it about Jonah that is so important that I believe it's mentioned three times in the New Testament? And why doesn't Jesus mention this prophet or that prophet or these other things, but he mentions Jonah that many times? What was so important about Jonah and his prophecy? Because most people look at Jonah as, you know, kind of a backslider, really, because, you know, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah and Jonah goes, no. You know, he says, he rises up. He says, you know, the word is, rise up, Jonah, and go to Nineveh. So he must have got up, he rises up, but he just goes, no, I'm not doing this. And so away he goes, and you have to begin to wonder, why would he do this? He's a prophet, even his name, and you begin to get into what the whole thing is all about, and even his name. When you start getting into the Hebrew words and the Hebrew things about it, every letter in Hebrew represents a number and can carry an entire meaning with each letter. And so when you get into names and things like that, wow, it just opens up. And the name Jonah itself means a dove is the first meaning it had there. And then the mating warmth of the dove. And it also means the wine or the effervescence of the wine. That's the sparkly stuff that makes you drunk. And so you've seen all of these things are in there just in his name. So when you look at who God is calling on the scene, he's calling the dove on the scene. What's the dove represent in the New Testament? The Holy Ghost. So here is God, the I Am God, and it starts out, the word of the Lord comes. So the word comes to Jonah. God in word form comes, and he's calling his dove on the scene. And he's not calling it on the scene for the Jew, he's calling it on the scene for the Gentile. And think about Jonah. Now, here's a Jew, and he's calling this Jew to go to Gentiles. You ever think about it? Jews weren't supposed to have anything to do with the Gentiles. And so here's Jonah going, wow, I'm supposed to go to the Gentiles? I just personally wondered, was maybe he kind of doubting his vision just a little bit? Why would God send me to the Gentiles? I'm not going. Not only was it Gentiles, it was the capital of the entire Gentile world at that time. So here is this prophet, and God, the word comes to him and says, go down there to those Gentiles. He says, no, I'm not going. forget it, I'm out of here. And so he heads down, and you know the story. He gets his money together there, and he goes down to, it says it took, he, well, first off, I'll go to verse 3, because it says that he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. And again, here's another word, the presence of the Lord. For those that are familiar, like with the cloud picture, it's the head that was, you know, the prophet of God said, turn that picture. Yeah. And in that word presence, it actually means the turned head. So here you have a prophet that doesn't want to go to the Gentiles. He's running from the turned head, which is also to the Gentiles. And so he's running from that vision. He's running from that word of the Lord. He goes down, buys a ship to go down to Joppa and to go to Tarshish and so forth. Well, then, and he even tells them, go with them unto the Tarshish to run from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord. He's trying to get out of it. Excuse me, I thought I turned this off. I'm thinking, yes, it is. It's Spamela. That's the girl that I used to go out with when I was in high school. Sorry. Yeah, it was a Pamela, so now it's Spamela. But so here he is. He's running from the presence of the Lord. He's running from the turned face, and he's running from the Gentiles. And he's just, I'm out of here. I'm going to just get away from all this. And when he does that, and even as believers, sometimes God will tell us to do certain things. And, you know, at least me, maybe I'm the only one here, but it's kind of like, I'd rather not, you know. And then well, what usually happens then is you get into a storm in your life. You know, more than once for this guy. And so the first thing that happens when he does this, he gets into this terrible storm. And it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And when it talks about this, but Jonah goes down, and you'll find in the next few verses, he's asleep. That's the other thing believers do when you're running from God, is they go to sleep and into slumber. And so here he is, and the ship is in terrible stuff, and these mariners are afraid. And it says every man is calling to his God, and the ship is, you know, and they start throwing stuff out of the ship. They're getting rid of anything that's they can get rid of to keep from sinking. They're throwing it out and trying to lighten the ship. But it says Jonah had gone down to the sides of the ship and falls asleep. And the shipmaster comes to him and says, O sleeper, arise, call upon thy God, if so that God will think upon us and we perish not. And they said it, you know, everyone, but so now he's awake, he comes upstairs, and they're all standing there casting lots. What caused this problem? You know the little stick game? Somebody got the short stick. It happened to be Jonah. And so they turn and let us cast lots that we might know who this is for. And the lot fell upon Jonah. Now every eye is on Jonah. And as every eye is on Jonah, he says unto them, they say unto him, you know, what's the cause of this? Why did you bring this evil upon us? What's your occupation? Where did you come from? What's your country? They've got all these questions. And what people are you? Notice what he said. I am a Hebrew. That's answer one. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. And they got afraid just after the first two questions. It said they became exceedingly afraid. What's a Hebrew? Again, from the just a simple translation, it actually means one from beyond. So he's telling, I'm not from here. I am a man from beyond. And not just that. I know there's more that goes with it. I'm trying to go kind of quick on this so we can get to. But he's one from beyond, and he's running from God, and he's into this storm and tempest. And the storm, or the word tempest there, is actually a terrible whirlwind. You ever think about Proverbs chapter 1? All these, they said, I can't remember, they said there was more category, whatever it was, 5, 6, 4, whatever, in the hurricanes in the last 10 or 15 years than it ever has been known to mankind. Did you ever look at the tempest, windy storm and tempest, those things? And it's and I'll read it real quick. I wasn't, Lord, thank you. Maybe some reason you need to hear this. And it's Proverbs, the first chapter. And it talks about the windy storm. Yes, I also will, it's 1 and 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your fear cometh, when your fear comes as a desolation, your destruction comes as a whirlwind. How much destruction has there been in the last 50 years from whirlwinds? In the United States, we have not just the hurricanes, we have the tornadoes. There was just a giant, they call them cyclones in the Indian Ocean that struck Australia. And didn't strike it once. I read the article from the weather people, and it said it hit it four times, because it hit it once, bounced out the sea, hit it again, bounced out, came back, hit it again, took out the whole north coast of Australia. So it was not just a simple storm. It was a massive whirlwind storm, and these guys are thinking we're going down. And so, you know, you're a Hebrew, and they've got that part, and it said they became exceedingly afraid because he told them, I'm a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea. And they become afraid, and he said, and they now they're going with more questions. Why did you do this to us? Why are you fleeing from the presence of the Lord? Because they told him that. And he said, what shall we do to thee, for the sea may calm us? And it, calm for us. And if you read it, they are rowing, trying to get to land. And he said, why is the sea calm? And he says, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, and the sea shall be calm for you. For I know it's for my sake that this tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and tempestuous against them. And they, now watch, because sometimes when we do what we think is totally off and we're running from God or whatever, even in his, what we would think perhaps backslidden condition, his life still brought people to the Lord. Because we read before where they were all calling on their own gods, and now he's saying, you got to cast me into the sea. And when, and they're trying, they don't want to do that to him because they don't want to have innocent blood on their hands. And but they begin to cry, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not his innocent blood on us, for thou For, O Lord, thou hast done as it pleased thee. Even in a backslidden condition, a believer can have an effect on other people's lives to turn them to the Lord. I'm not telling you to go backslide. I'm just saying, when it happens or if it happens, be aware that you are the redeemed of Christ, and that redemption seed dwells in you. And he was a redemption prophet, and that power of redemption was sent for the Gentiles. And here he is on board ship, not supposed to, you know, even be there, but that redemption to the Gentiles was so strong upon him, those men repented and gave their lives to Christ. So he was fulfilling a portion of his calling even without doing it. God is amazing. Remember, you have a promise, we have a promise, all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And so they pitch him into the water, and we know the story from there. And I like to, you know, I've been to Sunday schools, and they have the pictures of Jonah, and I love this because, you know, here he is in the belly of the whale, and they have Jonah, He's like sitting in a little chair, and he has a candle, and it's all clean and sweet smell. I'm sorry, sister, I didn't even think of. So here he is, you know, and it's all clean and friendly, and Joan is, you know, maybe had a little book. I've seen it different ways, and I think, and that's sometimes as people we think that's, was it that way really? And you begin to read on about it, and it's not that way at all. He has been swallowed by a whale, and so he's in the belly of the whale, and it says that he's there for 3 days and three nights. And he's going into chapter 2, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and he cried by reason of his affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. Does that sound like a nice little chair with a candle? No, I don't think so. And if you, as we continue to go further, you find it says that the weeds were wrapped about my head. So he's in condition. It's dark. It stinks. I mean, can I use the word whale vomit? He's in this whale vomit. The weeds are wrapped about his head. He can't breathe. It's a total, it's so bad he calls it the belly of hell. I am in the belly of hell. But he says, but he heard me. He said, I cried unto the Lord in this affliction. What's he doing? He is confessing by faith that even though he's running from the call of God and he's in this terrible affliction that is so bad, it's the belly of hell. From the belly of hell, I cried and God heard me. And so you see that God is there, and he believes from his heart that God has heard him. And he continues there, he cast me into the deep from the midst of the seas. And it goes on and tells us the story of whereabouts he is and how terrible it is. The waters compassed me about, even to my soul. That's the, and we know from the message of the hour that the soul is the nature of the spirit, that whatever, you know, a dog has a dog nature, cat has a cat nature. Usually you don't find, you know, cats chasing dogs and vice versa. I've seen it happen a few times, but maybe they took on the nature of the lion in the little cat. But it's normally whatever nature is in that animal is tells us what kind of animal it even is. And here he says that it, this, because this water is this, it's like I'm in hell. And but in verse 4 he said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look upon toward thy holy temple. What's he talking about? Why is this such an important line in here for Jonah? Because there was a prophecy similar. Remember the word of the Lord, it said, came to him in the first place. And there is a place in the scripture from the days of Solomon, which in the days of Solomon, when they had prayed and offered all their sacrifices and done all those things, the word of the Lord came down to Solomon and said, anyone that will look toward this house, I will hear their prayer. Now, I don't know if he was actually in that whale's belly all tied up in the weeds and the vomit and stuff, and he knew, you know, supernaturally, the house of the Lord, it must be, you know, like a... No, because you are the house of the Lord. You are, yeah, the temples of God, it says. And so, anyway, when he turns to this, to look for this house of the Lord, and he realizes all the way into his soul that what this is all about, molding Jonah. And then he, and the weeds were about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth and the bars were about me forever. But now watch what he does next. So here he's run from God. He's in this condition that's like hell. And he already has prophesied that the Lord heard me in my affliction. But then watch what he said here. After he believes and he's turned his heart back towards the holy temple, as it were, and this has had an effect upon his soul. And the next thing he says is that he prophesies, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God. He is prophesying of his redemption. He has given his heart to the Lord, as it were, and he has realized the condition he is in, and he has turned his temple unto the word of the Lord that came to him in the first place. And now he's seeking this repentance, and he does it with a prophecy. Thou hast brought up my life from corruption. Remember, Jesus said the only sign you're going to see is the sign of Jonah. And so here he is prophesying that the Lord is bringing up his life from corruption. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. He's calling, I remembered the Lord. I remembered what this call upon my life was. And now I found myself in this place. But he has brought up my life from corruption. And I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came up unto thee into thy holy temple. So he's saying, all of this stuff I'm going through, there is a temple of God that this has gone into. And I love verse 8. When I hear people, and we get to a lot of different youth camps, different meetings, different places, you hear all kinds of doctrines in what we call this message of the hour. And I have seen, you know, I'll have young people come up and they'll, oh, do you think I can make it? That's not necessarily, when I say young people, I'm talking more like young in the Lord sometimes, because their faith level is such that they don't know where they're at with God. And so he says, after he has made this prophecy, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Let that soak in for a minute. We are in a battleground. I could even get the book of Colossians, where he's speaking the different things to the Colossians. He said, I have a great conflict for you, Colossa, and for those in Laodicea.
Amen.
So we are in this terrible conflict. On the outside, we are in a terrible conflict with this stuff. We have five gates of the enemy against this outside man. See, taste, hear, feel, smell. You know, you burn your hand and it's like, ah. Oh. You feel that. You hear it. We hear the music, all the different things of this world, and how that tries to drag us away or drag us into the realms of hell, as it were. And so we have this guy to deal with. And I think it was... I don't remember what tape it was on now, but Brother Branham said his worst enemy was William Branham.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you look at his life and how everything he fought against, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit, all the deliverance, all the things that happened, and he said, this guy is my worst enemy.
Yeah.
And so when we look at they that observe, it's a lying vanity, because it came into this world speaking lies. Was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came into the world speaking lies. And if it's a lie, it's a lying vanity. And when we walk into a situation and we think we can't overcome it, it's a problem, whatever it is, it's a lying vanity. And if we begin to observe only the lying vanity instead of the deliverance from the Word of God, or the deliverance of the prophecy from our own mouths. Had a case I know of a man that had back surgery, and the prognosis was, you'll never walk again. In fact, you'll be lucky to get out of bed within the first year. The man walked out of the hospital in 7 days.
Yeah.
By his own, by his confession.
Amen.
With his stripes, I am healed. And it didn't come easy. It was an over and over and over, over every step the guy made. It was with his stripes I am healed. It's our confession upon the Word of God, and not what all the circumstances and things around us are. So they that observe lying vanities, that's to forsake your own mercy, because the mercy is in the healing power of God. Your mercy is in God's provision. Our mercy is in the salvation of God, which is comes down to the next thing. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay my vows that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So his confession is, along with his sacrifice, he's got no lambs, he's got no nothing. He's in the bale, he's still in the whale's belly, still wrapped up in the in all the juice and the stuff that he's stuck with in there, and yet he's made this prophecy that God is gonna has already delivered him, and then he's telling, you know, I'm not gonna observe all this stuff, all this. This place that I am, the darkness, the stench, the weeds, the place that I am, though it's like hell, he said, I'm not going to even look at those things. They're all lying vanities. Think about it, Christians. All this world, all these things, and we know, I mentioned the flesh, but the other thing is even the spirit of man that's in it. There's the memory, reasoning, affection. I know there's two more, but there's the five things, the five gates to the spirit. And even those, we can, you know, you get in a position, it's like, and the memory comes and it starts working on you. Or the conscience come and it starts working on you. And the imagination comes and starts working on you, trying to drag you away from the promises of God. And that's, but how we are told that we can, as Abraham's seed, possess the gates of the enemy. That's all of them. That's these gates, that's those gates in the spirit. And when Brother Branham talked about those gates in the spirit, you know, he said, now if it comes out of your spirit to have an imagination about certain things, he said, if it's taking you closer to the promises of God, go with it. But if it's trying to drag you away from God, then forget it. And I remember when I was a young Christian, I was just starting to get into the fact, oh, we don't all have to die, we can be changed. And it came on me one time, I was talking to some friends, and we started talking about imagining what it would be like to be a martyr, and those talking about the people in the days of Rome and all that stuff. And I thought, man, how can that be right? If we're in this age, we're supposed to be changed. And then I heard right after that, Brother Branham said, have you ever felt like, you know, what it would be like to be a martyr? He said, that was the Holy Ghost on you. And I'm going, oh, man. So then I'm observing the lie and vanities. Because if it works, if it's for you and it's the Holy Ghost, go with it. But those are also gates that can be used against us. That's the thing with a gate. It's like that door. If that it's a gate in a certain way, and you can go out it or you can come in it. And I've come to the relationship with music. I was a bit of a musician when I was younger, and I've had, you know, pastors say, oh, preach on music, preach on music. And I have a little different take on it. I said, music to me is just like this door. You open the door and the good guy can come in or the bad guy can come in. And I can either go that way or I can come this way, because it's a portal, brother. He was telling me he preached on portals, and it's a portal to another realm that will take you to those places of either good side or bad side. And somebody said, well, you know, it was somebody that you didn't look at it that way. And they said, well, you don't have to believe it like I do. But I said, I remember a case when my kids were really little, and we were at my parents' house, and they had put seemed like a nice television show on the tube there. And we were sitting in the kitchen, and I heard singing, nice choir singing, beautiful music, but it was carrying a spirit of Trinitarianism. And I felt that spirit because I'd been around it when I was younger. And I walked in there to see what it was. And when you went on, and they were just doing the credits. And I went, no wonder. That's the, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this online, but it was, anyway, it was a local denomination. And I thought, and yet it was beautiful music. So it's not just the music this from this realm, it's what's the spirit behind it. I've been in message churches, or you know, people that believe what we call the message of the hour. I've preached in over 30 countries, so we get around a little bit. And I've gone into services to where, wow, I got delivered from this because I played in a rock and roll band and I recognize that spirit. And so it's a portal. And so anyway, back to Jonah, he says, you know, they that observe, and when he starts making his sacrifice of thanksgiving, so he's made his prophecy and he's talked about, I'm not going to go with the outside lying vanities. And so he begins to thank the Lord. And when he gets happy in the spirit, even though he's still in the belly of hell, that whale, he just couldn't stand it. A good revival going on. Oh, it's like it was indigestion to that poor beast. So here's Jonah, pops out on the seashore, probably had a nice new suit on, right? Maybe even a tuxedo. We don't know. I mean, he's the modern evangelist, yeah. Right? With the weed, pulling the weeds off. And God had a little different vision than they have nowadays. I've heard several different people talking about prosperity gospel. He didn't come out with a prosperity gospel. No, he come out with weeds wrapped around him. And I have a nephew that was had traveled with some different churches, and he said, actually was in a church where the guy was preaching prosperity gospel, and he said, everybody stand up, we're gonna have a revival. And you know, they said, lift your hands and go, money, 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 come to me. Money, 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 come to me. Yeah. My nephew said he about fell out of his chair. Not what he thought was the message of the hour. But so Jonah arrives and he's not in, you know, proper evangelistic stuff. But now watch, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. So the first time Jonah didn't go. But the second time, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. And then it begins to describe what's going on with Nineveh. So as we look at this, we mentioned the great whirlwind as far as the tempest. But there was another thing I want to go back and look at just for a minute, and that's the word sea. One of the places when it mentions that he was cast into the sea, it's not just like the ocean that's running around Ireland. It's also from the Hebrew translation there, it can be a great river or a mighty river. It can be a westward river. It can be the west itself in that respect. And it can also be a great basin, as in the temple. We're talking about Jonah, and we're talking about Jesus said that's the sign those Jews are going to see. Now, first thing is, God said, arise and go to Nineveh. He doesn't go. But this time, when he rises, he goes. And then, as this is transpiring, you go look back to where he has just been, and we look at the types and shadows of Jonah. It becomes obvious to us he's a type and a shadow of the resurrection. Because he went to hell, Bible says, and Jesus went to hell for us. And so he went to hell, and God delivered him from hell. But did you notice, I think sometimes, I know, I didn't really ever think about it too much until a year or so ago when I got to looking at those things. Jesus didn't just go there for the fun of it. Number one, he prophesied before he even went about coming out. Tear this temple down 3 days, I'll raise it up. He had to fight for that. He fought for that. Can you imagine when he's there at Calvary and he is under every temptation, every lying vanity of the world? He knows he has powers to feed the, you know, feed thousands out of a few little fish and all of the other miracles. And we, there used to be a song, you know, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have, but he had to fight for what he knew the Word of God declared about him, or we would all be lost. And even as Jonah had to fight for these things that he was going through, and he had to make his own declaration, his own prophecy over himself, Jesus Christ did the same thing. And he said, that's what the sign that you're going to see. And he also, there when we see this sign of Jonah, how that Jonah didn't go the first time, but the second time he goes, and what did it bring? Salvation to the Gentiles. The first time the Son of Man came to the Jews, they didn't receive. He had to come a second time to the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Ghost. So you see, over and over you begin to see this life of Jonah points to the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. So now, why, David, did you mention this about the sea? Well, it can be a mighty river. It can be as the great basin in the temple. I thought, what a strange interpretation, or as it was from the Hebrew to the English, and you begin to look at something. Let's go to Exodus and just see how much of Jonah points us to Jesus Christ. Let me say it's... It's in Exodus chapter 12, and it's talking about the Passover. And he talks there, he starts down, and you get to about, tells them all the things they have to do to when they pick the lamb, and how that they're each, every household has to make its own sacrifice. We call it the token. And so he talks about how the lamb has to be, and all of the things. And then verse 7, he says, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two door side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And then he talks about how they're supposed to eat it with bitter herbs and so forth. So what's it talking about in this place? Well, it's talking about the Passover and how that they were to kill the lamb, keep the blood, and eat the sacrifice. So what does this have to do with Jonah? A great basin. Think about when they took the lamb and they had the door and they were to take the blood from the lamb and strike the lintel, the top, and the two side posts. We know that represents Calvary. But where did the blood come from? They slew the lamb at the threshold of the door and they held the blood in a basin. And they took it with hyssop, simple faith, from the basin and they smote the doorposts. And here Jonah was cast into a great basin, typing, as it were, Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. So we see that part of it. And you think, well, where? So we understand the basin was at the threshold of the door, and it goes even beyond. Because then we look at Jonah, the mating warmth. Think that the mating warmth of the dove. In other words, God mating with humanity, if you want to just cut it short. God mating with humanity through the sign of this man's life. And it comes there in the basin to strike the post of the door so we can see what the Passover is. And give to us in this day and age, we think of it as the token or the mating strength of the Holy Spirit. And then the next step is, well, what's, we go to Ezekiel 47, because it also was a great river, is part of that same word. So we go to Ezekiel 47, I believe it is. And this is where Ezekiel has been. It says, after he brought me again to the door, it's 47 verse 1. After he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house of God. From under the threshold of the house eastward for the forefront of the house which stood toward the east, and the waters came down from this right hand side, the south side of the house. So he's describing what's going on, but from the threshold of this house, the water begins to flow out. And as this water flows out, first of all, you think about where it's said or how he describes it, and that door faces the east. So the house itself, this house of God, is in the west, facing the east, and from the threshold of that door, this river begins to flow. And the first time it comes to, in verse 3, it talks about the water was to his ankles. It's only that deep. The second one, I believe it's the thighs. The third one is like his chest. And then the fourth one, he said, there's water to swim in. Complete immersion. What does the water represent? We know it represents the Holy Ghost. Where did we find it? At the basin, or in the basin, on the threshold of the door. So from this basin, from this place, it becomes a mighty river. A mighty river that which there's enough the first stage to overcome that horse rider, enough in the second, enough, and so forth, and we begin to see how it even relates right into the seven seals. There was enough for the first horse, second horse, third, fourth horse, enough to swim in. And it came from the threshold of the door. Why is that important? Well, the basin is there, that's part of it. Yeah, but there's another reason. Why the threshold of the door? Let's go to Genesis. Make sure I have the right spot here. Chapter 4. What is the importance? Why did it have to be at the threshold of the door? In Genesis chapter 4, it's when the brothers have made their sacrifice. And we'll start with verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, who was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. So you have two people, and they both offered different offerings. And we find, if we were to go to the book of Hebrews, it said that Cain's offering was a perfect offering. Why did God not receive it? Because, friends, but it said that Abel's offering was more perfect. So what's the difference? This was the first offering made in history besides God killing for Adam and Eve with the... Because you cannot have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit without having the death of the Lamb. So Cain's offering was perfect, but he didn't want it applied with blood. He wanted the fruits of the Spirit. I hope you're thinking now. They want the fruits of the Spirit, but they don't want the things that go with the blood of the token. So, then we continue. But unto Cain and his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not also be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And Jesus Christ, it says in the book of Galatians, became sin for us. So Jonah's very life is showing us from the basin to the doorposts to the river that sin has been paid for from the threshold of Jesus Christ being come sin for us. Praise the Lord. And there's other stuff when you start really looking into water from the threshold and some of the things it means. Actually, one of the things, it talks about a measuring line. What's the measuring line represent that goes with this as far as the threshold and the river and all of those things? The measuring line, and we find that, of course, in Isaiah, and also where it talks there, in the evening time there shall be light. I don't remember how many different actual words, meanings it has to that evening time. We tend to think of it as the evening. The sun just went down. We're in the evening time. But there's also the place where when you're building a wall, you take and you have your stuff there and you run a line to make sure that wall is even. And you have, you know, as a timber faller, we had a would take a stone, or if you had a little plumb bob, you could hold the line to see whatsoever way a tree leans is the way it falls. That's a scripture. And it's an evening line. And there's the evening of the mountains come down and the valleys come up. So what's it talking about? An Elijah ministry. And it's all in the water from the threshold. This whole book is Jesus Christ. The whole book. Now let's look at one more thing before we close. It said that the original word was, arise, Jonah, and go to Nineveh, the Gentiles. He didn't go. But when the word comes the second time, he arose and went to the Gentiles. The second coming of Jesus Christ is when he goes to the Gentiles. But there's another thing that we have to look at. Jesus is speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. And he said, the only sign you're going to see is an Elijah ministry to the Gentiles. Because they were saying, hey, give us a sign. Are you the Messiah? Until there's an Elijah ministry to the Gentiles, that's their sign that they can receive their Messiah. And it's all right there. No wonder Jesus liked Jonah. Because he lays out the whole scene of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and beyond, even unto the Holy Spirit coming on the different Gentiles in different portions. The whole thing is in the life of Jonah. You love him this morning, or this evening. Evening time, right? Hey, where I live, it's morning. So, God bless you. Let's just stand and praise the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. What a privilege and honor to look at this scripture, Lord, and to see that you are living in every word of it, Father. We love you. We thank you. I praise you. As I give this service to you, for the sake of your children, Lord, may you feed them. And if they learn nothing else from us tonight, may they fall desperately in love with you, our gracious Savior, healer, friend, provider, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you know that? I want to start to sing it in Spanish. Be it unto me. You know that? Let's do that song as Brother Andrew comes. And yeah, where I was just at, it's sea conmigo, informa tu palabra. Doesn't work here, right? Any Spanish? Just Rachel. In English. Be it unto me. Yeah, do it. Yeah, give us a key. I usually do it in D. There you go. Be it unto me according to your... God bless you. Thank you. according to your promises, I will stand secure.
Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free, according to your promises, be it unto me. Be it unto me, saints, as we come to Easter time, as Brother David was saying, the sign of the resurrection. Jesus was saying that the only sign will be shown to you is the sign of the resurrection, the sign of Jonah. And then Brother David was going on to show that in our age, the prophet preaches it, greater than Jonah is here, and he shows the sign of the resurrection. We saw it in our age. So we don't want something theoretical. You know, we don't just want doctrine or we don't just want teaching. We want to see in ourselves the fulfillment of what Jesus has said. And the sign of the resurrection, it just needs the power of the resurrection. And Paul said that. He said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. So as we come to Easter time, the time of the resurrection, doesn't matter what you've been through, doesn't matter how the year's begun. We've just come through the winter season, but we come to springtime now, the season of the resurrection. Yeah, and I'm sure that you desire that faith like Jonah. That was really wonderful. With Jonah, he prophesied. You know, he prophesied his own deliverance. Amen. Because the Lord spoke to him that despite his circumstances, despite the lying vanities, he knew, I'm coming out of this place. Because the Lord hasn't finished with me yet. Amen. There's still a destiny. There's a place that he wants me to go. So, you know, whatever you've been through, whatever your circumstances, as we come into the Easter meetings now, as we come into that, let's really seek the Lord and say, please, Lord, we just want to know you in the power of your resurrection. Lord, come and resurrect my hope. Come and resurrect my health. Come and resurrect my marriage. Come and whatever the circumstances, come and resurrect, because he hasn't finished with you yet. Remember Paul as well, when he was in the shipwreck, he knew that he wasn't going to die because the Lord had told him, you will stand before Caesar. So he knew, I've got to come out of this situation because he hasn't finished with me yet. And as we look beyond whatever our circumstances are and we prophesy, we know that the Lord is going to deliver us from there. And just let the power of the resurrection in this season come and raise us up. Let's just bow our heads before we hand over to Brother James there. As we thank the Lord for his word, how he avails himself in his word. You know, like the prophet says, you read any scripture and you don't see Christ in it, go and read it again. Because he's hidden in every aspect of his word. If you have a desire before the Lord this evening, why not raise your hand and say, Lord, you know what I need. You know the desire that I have. Father, as we look to you upon this evening, and Father, we come as a needy people once again. Father, we set our affections and our attention upon you. Lord, we just want to set our love upon you, Lord, and Father, just want to draw near to you at this time. Draw near to us, Lord. Father, come and persuade our hearts, Lord. Come and quicken us, Lord, inside of our souls. Come, Lord, in this season we'd pray. And Father, just confirm, Lord, once again inside of our souls, the power of your resurrection, we pray, Lord. Jesus, we know you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, our brother spoke so well about these lying vanities and the circumstances and the situations that surround us, Lord. But Father, that sixth sense, just speak deep inside of our souls, that certain sound, Lord, that Father, we may speak beyond our circumstances, that Father, you may take us to the place that you've ordained us to be. And Father, we don't want to run at a season like this. We don't want to be heading towards Tarshish, Lord. But Father, we just pray you'll get us back on course as you did to Jonah. Back to Nineveh once again, Father. Lord, even as your prophet said, to get a Gentile bride. Help us, Lord. Bless your servant you've used this evening, Lord. Father, just lay your hand upon him in a special way as he waits upon you for the meetings coming up ahead. And Father, once again, we pray for them that haven't managed to make it upon this night. May you meet them, Lord. Father, in the power of the resurrection, we pray. Lord, in your grace and your mercy, you visit them wherever they are, in whatever situation they are. And bless us as we go from this place. You watch over us, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, saints. Let's hand over our names.
Let's sing 157. I've anchored in Jesus. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages, upon life's boundless ocean, where mighty billows roll. I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me, as storms are gathering whole, I rest upon his mercy and trust him so. Can we just bump it a little bit? Yeah, this Rangoni. Do you want to B flat is my worst note of all the notes.
Keep my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace.
His voice is still the waters and be the tumult seas. My pilot and deliverer, to him I will confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. Oh, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he had power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. My faith I'm looking upward, beyond life's troubles see. There I behold a heaven prepared for me. Oh, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, oh, I've anchored in the rock of ages. Amen. Let's try 1, 5, 2. It's A flat. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. Oh yes, when the Savior, oh, I will answer. Oh Lord, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Somewhere listening, I'll be some. Oh, listening, I'll be some. Oh, listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh yes, if my heart is right when he calls. Oh yeah, if my heart is right I will hear. Oh Lord, if my heart is when he calls, oh yes, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my, oh yes, if my robe is white when he calls, oh yes, if my robe is white, I will hear. Oh, if my robe is white when he calls, oh, somewhere listening for my name. Somewhere listening, I'll be some. Oh, listening, I'll be. Oh, listening for my name. I'll be somewhere. Oh, listening, I'll be some. Somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
God bless you, saints.
God bless you, bro.
Thank you so much.
God bless you richly.
Mama.
I'm just doing my job.
Good job, bro.
I'll be somewhere.
When your life is over.